Zachy.
G'day, Jimmy. Afternooners. How are we?
Yeah, we're all well. Actually, I can't speak for everyone, but I'm well. So thank you for that. Hey, mate, as I said, why don't we start there? Cameron Serrato, inside the five-year deal. And, gee, I think of all the positives that have happened to the Bulldogs over the last, 12 months, this is probably top of the list. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I can't really remember a rookie coach that has come with more wraps than Cameron Serrato. I mean, Ivan Cleary has missed a couple of games through injury and, whatever over the last couple of years. But I spoke to Corey Waddell this morning, current Bulldogs player, and he won a comp under Serrato in 2020, in the under-20s with the Panthers.
Yep.
And I said to him, I said, look, I said, you'd know from coming from that side what qualities he has to make it in the NRL. But I said, the NRL's a different beast. And from what we know about Serrato, he doesn't like the cameras, he doesn't like all the attention. So it's a big step up. But he said that he believes, from what he knew a couple of years ago, he said that Serrato was the first coach that really took his game to a new level, in the sense of, all throughout juniors, he'd been coached by some pretty handy coaches in his eyes, but he said he's a really intelligent. He gets the players to buy in, and he earns the respect of a lot of their players. So, I mean, the proof will be in the pudding in the next 12, 18 months, even 5 years or not. But everyone you speak to that's been under him or worked alongside him has a massive rap on Cameron Serrato. The most interesting thing, you said it's huge, it's positive news for the Bulldogs, but I'm surprised in a way that it's probably a five-year deal rather than a three-year deal.
Well, I think...
But it's a big debate. I mean, like, it's stability for the club long-term if it's successful. And if he gets into his second year and they haven't, hasn't had success in the first 18 months of the club, then people will start questioning, was he the right signing? So I can see why the Dogs did it. But, yeah.
And we don't know the intricacies of the deal, whether there's a termination fee of, if just say it gets to 18 months, it's not, for whatever reason, let's think worst case scenario. Is the termination 12 months or the remainder of the deal? So there's some of the things that can be built into that as well. The Tigers Centre of Excellence, mate, unfortunately, it's great they've got a barber in there, but they've also come up with a bit of a faux pas with the Benji Marshall bio. It is a great news story for Tigers fans, but typical Tigers, tinged with a little downside.
Yeah, well, Michael Chalmers, it was funny. He came in into our office yesterday and did this great yarn. He was out there with Alex Trial and Justin Pascoe, and it was so impressive. Like, as you said, they've covered everything, They've got a world-class gym. They've got, the pools and the saunas and the bars and all that kind of stuff. So $78 million, which is a hard figure to get your head around for this club. But basically everything in there has a West Tigers logo on it somewhere. But their incoming assistant, club legend, premiership winner, head coach to be from, 2025, it says that Benji Marshall won a premiership with the Dragons. It is, whoever came up with this era would be, I don't know what kind of state they would be in right now, but for their own club to do it to their own legend, probably the biggest name and best player to ever play for that club, is just, it's so rugby league in a way, isn't it?
It's unbelievable. But anyway, look, Coach K's got a bit more on that a little bit later on in the program. Now, this was an interesting one, talking about a reduction in the amount of contact sessions that the rugby league clubs are going to have, given the fact that we know what happens in game time with a concussion. We're not so sure what happens at training sessions. This is I won't say it's a dangerous pass, but it's a very interesting path that the NRL are preparing to walk down. What's your take on it, Zach?
Well, it is definitely an interesting one. So just for all the listeners out there, so the NRL and the RLC Commission, they'll sit down ahead of the upcoming off-season and they'll discuss whether they will bring in measures that similar to the NFL, where they have rules around the contact training that their players can do during the regular season and mainly during the pre-season. It's an interesting one, Jimmy, because you feel like if the players aren't ready for the contact come round one, then they could be underdone and they're at more risk of getting their heads and their body in a position which leads to more concussions and more head knocks.
Yes.
But as you said, we don't know the stats, and I don't know if the clubs are going to give the NRL stats, I guess they have to in a way, but around what actually happened in those preseason sessions in terms of, you know, how many head knocks players have received in those sessions and those concussions.
Yep.
The thing is, the players have to be, like, I don't know the figures, I wouldn't know, but the players have to be ready come round one, and that's my real worry. If you take this away, then maybe some players will be underdone. And the thing, and I know this is a whole other debate or issue, but, you know, a few years ago, Rawlins, the clampdown on the head knocks and concussions in the game, took out the shoulder charge. They're trying to come down on high tackles here and there and spear tackles and all that. But as we know, most of these concussions are happening with mistimed tackles.
Yes.
And that's just going to stay in the game as long as the game's around.
Yeah.
And
sorry, mate.
So many variables, as you know, there's so many variables when you go into a tackle where, you know, people are lowering levels or sidestep or teammates are coming in to make the tackles. Like, it's just going to keep happening, unfortunately. And the athletes are getting bigger, stronger, and the game's faster.
And the probability of mistiming a tackle when you've had 8 weeks off and just coming back to training with contact, I thought, would have been increased as well. Hey, we've got the news chasing us, mate, but the story going around, there's video online apparently been circulating in the last 24 hours. Kurt Mann and Kalyn Ponga walking out of a toilet. Now, we have had an explanation from Andre Ponga, Kalyn's dad and manager. Now, this is really interesting that a listener just says, Jimmy, why wouldn't Ponga just say, I'll submit to a drug test and shut everyone up? Thoughts?
Yeah, it would, but when has a player ever done that though, Jimmy? Seriously. And I'm not saying that anything untoward was happening in that cubicle, but if it was, then there's no way he would come forward and say, I'm going to do a drug test. So I'm not saying he's guilty of anything, but it was a very interesting explanation from Andre.
Yes. So it's...
I don't know what's going to come of the investigation, because... Unless the knife's put into a drug test, but then they don't have to reveal that detail unless it's what, third strike?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, second strike? Yeah.
It's a complex situation, but there's a really simple solution. So, if Andre said that, then the obvious one, and maybe the Knights, well, either do want to be aware of it, but not let everyone else be aware of it, but this is now very public. You know, this is the problem. The horse has bolted, so they've got to do something to satisfy the lust that will come from the media about what exactly was going on in that toilet cubicle.
Yep.
I don't think we're going to get
the actual answer as to what was happening in that cubicle.
With the $1.1 million a year player who is the face of their franchise, that has not played for obvious reasons and has seen the side struggle throughout the course of this year. Like, it's just the worst possible time for the Newcastle Knights, for Adam O'Brien, and for everyone involved for this to come out. Now, Angus Crichton extended at the Roosters. I think there was a bit of an issue around the registration of the contract, but that's all been done and dusted.
Well, if you believe Angus Crichton and you believe some high... positioned officials at the Roosters, they say that if the ink isn't already drying right now, Jimmy, it will be in the next 48 hours.
Right.
2-year deal extension that'll keep him in the club until the end of 2024. So that's pretty good news, given all the other big names that they've got to re-sign or they've got coming to the club, and, you know, the likes of Brandon Smith next year. And also, interesting on the news tonight, I spoke to teen sensation Joseph Suali, or Sualii, as some commentators are calling him, and he reveals how we say it or how he wants it to be said moving forward.
Ah, nice. Nice. We make some presumptions at times, but certainly with Josh Papalihi and Isaiah Papalihi, and Josh was known as Papali for a long time, be nice to get it right very early on in what's going to be an incredible career. We know that. As is yours, Zach Bailey.
No. Time for me to go, Jimmy. I've taken up way too much of your time. I've got to get back to the fridge and stock up my Cocoa Magic supply.
Oh, well said. Well said. Zach Bailey there from Channel 9.
If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to tune in from midday, Monday to Thursday, till 3 p.m. on 1170 SEN.